Let's begin from Madhya Lila. I believe it's chapter 19, text 116 and 117. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach this on Sunday and Wednesday, but I'm not going to go verse by verse. I may pick a verse, but then I'll cover everything that was previous. And that way, whether you come in on Wednesday or on Sunday, you'll get the whole thing. You'll get the whole context of the whole thing. Okay, so let's go. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ajabhava Ananta Kamala Sarvamata Sabhara Sri Mukhe Narantara Yanra Kata Hainagora Chandra Yashe Yara Nahirati Vyarta Tara Sanyas Vedanta Pate Mati. The acceptance of sannyas and the study of Vedanta, of one who has no attachment for the glorification of Sri Gaurachandra, who is constantly praised by Brahma, Shiva, Ananta, and Kamala, the mother of all, is useless. Om Agana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Swapadantikam Manchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. Like I said, I have an ideal setup here. And it's just so blissful to have nothing to do during the day but to chant and hear, you know, about Krishna and associate with devotees, sometimes speak with them. The analogy I gave last time was this transcendental GPS that can not only focus on an area, but can go back in time and do it. And that's what the Shastra is like. It's like a Google map that goes back in time. And we just came to Navadvip right after Lord Chaitanya has taken sannyas. And of course I mentioned commitment changes consciousness. So having found the truth and having surrendered to the truth and therefore understanding the truth and therefore feeling the truth, which is the Priyojana, Lord Chaitanya, feeling that energy of prema, love of God, because he's realizing the truth now. He's given up the independent conception. he's given up the independent conception that blocks one from the truth. Just like Gopinathacharya, I've quoted this many times, but it's such a good example. He was a brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was initially an impersonalist. And he was with Lord Chaitanya, and they were all together, and then he chastised him, and he said, although the Supreme Lord is standing before you, you cannot see him as because you think of yourself as a separate and independent God. So it's this consciousness that moves us from the vantage point by which we can see and feel God. And the vantage point by which we can see and feel God is the via medium, which is the Vaishnava lineage and those who represent them, and the mood of surrender or Sharanagati that kind of puts us in that channel where we can feel the reciprocation of God, the reciprocation of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is feeling that, and we're seeing his interaction with the devotees, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the Chaitanya Bhagavat, but that character of the life force in immortality. And what is the character of the life force in immortality? It's service to God. That's who we are. And when we act that way, we energize that aspect. We energize ourselves. Our consciousness reaches its fruition in that service. So that's what the life force is in immortality. It's not a particular nationality, creed, race, gender, species. That's not the character of the life force in immortality. It's the soul, which is service. When you do things based on the bodily platform, disconnected from God, that character becomes obscured. And you don't feel that character. And that character is, and that identity is eternal. And it's full of bliss. And it's full of knowledge. So when people act as souls who are part of God and meant for God's service and consciousness and see others in that regard and relate to others in that regard and look at their house in that regard, and look at their family in that regard and see their attachments in that regard, then then you become actually fearless. You become fearless because that being of service does not end with the body. That being of gender, that being of race, that being of nationality, of creed, that identity is finished with the body. This is why almost counterintuitively, the regulative principles of freedom, surrender is freedom. When you follow the laws of the state, you are free. And those who foolishly think I will break the laws of the state to be free, they become more restricted. So we're seeing this, and we're seeing how it's manifest in kirtan and prasadam and hearing the shastra and worshiping the deity and all the things that we have access to by the mercy of Prabhupada. So we see this life, and it's meant to inspire us to emulate this life. That's the purpose of it. To inspire us to emulate that life, to desire it. Desire is the pivot. What you desire, you are. What you desire, you are, is where you are. So how to change that desire? So we have to appreciate what we appreciate, we become. So it's so important if we want to change to hear this Krishna Katha. So we're getting this GPS, this Google map, and then we sometimes see Lord Chaitanya, sometimes we see his devotees, sometimes we see what the demigods are doing. And we just ended with that, with the part where the demigods are looking at the earth and seeing the moons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the moon of Lord Chaitanya, and then somehow think, wait a second, we thought we're the heavens, but that's the heavens. We must be the earth. But why is there two moons? So we're seeing this, the sense that this is historic, this is transcendental, this is dynamic, this is the spiritual potency. And then in that, we see that Advaita, that they want to go to Shantipur. I describe many times what Prabhupada calls the transcendental system. God is in everyone's heart. And when you have a spiritual desire, he moves you towards spiritual things and spiritual experiences and spiritual people. Desire will change your world. It'll change how you look in the world. It'll change where you'll be in the world. So it's a connection. And it's a connection between guru. It's a connection between Vaishnavas. Krishna hears our hearts. That's the essence of bhakti. That's the essence of chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna hears our hearts and he reciprocates with our hearts. Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reciprocates with he hears our hearts. Just like the wives of the Brahmins, Krishna went to give them service. Krishna went to give them service because he heard their hearts, which was manifest in them because they were hearing the talks of the gopis who were selling flowers and were selling milk and were talking about Krishna. And by hearing about Krishna and hearing about Krishna, by that prolonged process of hearing about Krishna, their hearts develop this desire. And Krishna hears our hearts. That's how you get prema or bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti comes when your heart is exclusively and intensely wanting Krishna. And when Krishna listens to your heart, he doesn't hear any petty desires. He only hears that intense desire. He doesn't hear the desire for things. He doesn't hear the desire for reputation. He doesn't hear the desire for hate, for revenge. He doesn't hear the political desire. He hears your desire to serve intensely. And Krishna reciprocates. So he's in tune with our hearts. And when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is hearing. But he's not just hearing the syllables, he's hearing our heart. That's why Prabhupada said we should listen to the sincerity of our chanting, because it is that sincerity that Krishna is hearing. So this is how bhakti works. So Advaita had a desire. He knew that the goal is devotional service, and it was very challenging for him because he was the acharya. Lord Chaitanya was younger, and there's the proper etiquette is in society. So he was feeling very frustrated because he wanted to serve Lord Chaitanya, not be respected and served. So he hatched a plan, and the plan he hatched was he would disturb Lord Chaitanya so much He would disturb Lord Chaitanya so much that Lord Chaitanya would chastise him, and therefore Lord Chaitanya would take the superior position. And as he would say, Lord Chaitanya would be free from the illusion that I am his master. So he moved for that rasa. He wanted that relationship. And as we know, relationship is everything. The most unhappy thing is when you don't have good relationships, you have no relationships. And the happiest thing is we have good relationships. And that's essential for bhakti, because you advance by your community. So we need a community of devotees. And if we have a community of devotees, that will act upon your consciousness to bring you to higher levels of devotion. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, they decide to go to Shantipur. And halfway on their walk is a place called Litapur, where they're what is called Dari Sannyasis. They wear red cloth, some kind of dark cloth, as sannyasis do, or but they're materialists. And they have shastra. They believe in this. Because a lot of the shastra is, you want to give the child medicine, you put it in candy, but the purpose is not the candy. The purpose is the medicine. And if you lose sight of the medicine and just take the candy, you miss the whole purpose of it. So the shastra is giving a lot of candy. You do this, you can have a better wife. You do this, you can have a better that. And people get confused and they think that that's what the shastra is about. So on the basis of shastra, these people become materialists. They're materialists. But they take this sannyas somehow. Or it's and Lord Chaitanya somehow or other go, oh, there's a sannyasi, let's go there. He's going to give him benediction because Lord Chaitanya is compassionate. He's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koromor. Doya means compassion. I explained before there's two words for mercy. One is kripa, where it is by a person directed to another. That's kripa, guru kripa, Krishna kripa. It's directed, and doya is just magnanimity. So Lord Chaitanya is the personification of Odharya, or magnanimity, and he wants to extend his mercy to everyone. At the same time, he's Acharya, and he wants to set the example. So what he does also has philosophical import, and that'll become very, very clear. So when he goes, this Darya Sannyasi, they offer him respects, and he blesses Lord Chaitanya. May you have wealth and women and fame. And Lord Chaitanya looks at him and says, what kind of benediction is that? Why don't you tell me, may I attain Krishna? What benediction do you want, actually? You want Krishna. The nice thing about about wanting Krishna as opposed to wanting other things, it's something you can have at once because there's no material qualification. It's a question of heart. If you really, really deeply in your heart say, oh Krishna, from this day I am yours, you have Krishna. But if you want wealth and women and so many other things, karma, you may get it or not get it. And therefore, this sannyasi, he becomes, a little bit upset because Lord Chaitanya is respecting him. He says, I give you good advice, and you simply become angry. There's a Bengali proverb, if you give good advice to a foolish person, he'll simply become angry. Because good advice does not conform to what you want. Good advice conforms to what is best for you. And if you're not into the consciousness of spiritual consciousness and self-transformation, you won't want what is best for you, because what is best for you may not be what you like. So when a foolish person who doesn't have a spiritual objective, or to the extent that we don't, if we get good advice, we'll become angry. We'll become angry. And therefore, in spiritual life, when you deal with guru, when you deal with a Vaishnava, they will give you according to your faith. If the faith is lacking, what they'll give you is limited, because what they have to give you may not conform to your present vision of reality based on your ego and your desires. So they won't give. They say this, the phrase is giving pearls to a swine. They won't give. Therefore, it's the submissive disciple, the surrendered disciple, who gets the full mercy. And the full mercy is Krishna giving himself, which may entail the removal of the false ego. Prabhupada's credit, Prabhupada gives him the credit that Prabhupada took. If you can say the only credit he took was not for any qualities he had, but because he was 100% faithful to his spiritual master, and therefore he could understand the truth. Even if that truth meant you cross the ocean alone at the age of 70 and try to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And the truth meant this is how you do it, and these are the conceptions. Not your independent conceptions, not necessarily the way you see and what your opinion is. It may go beyond that. It may not conform to that. Although if it doesn't, you have every right to raise your doubts to get it clarified. But the truth is difficult. So it's not everyone that is open to the truth. It's not everyone that can go before the deities and say, Krishna, I want you, do whatever it takes to give yourself to me. Wow, I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know how can handle, what has to be removed from our consciousness for Krishna to fully reside there? What attachments will he have to pull out? What desires will we have to give up? What conceptions and ideas will we have to accept? So one becomes angry if he's foolish. And therefore the teacher is very careful. This is the truth, but they don't see it as the truth. And if I give them that truth, because they don't see it and they don't have sufficient faith, they'll lose faith. Therefore, I'll give them what they can handle. I'll give them what they can understand. But the Prabhupads of the world, it's Vivasayat Mika Budhe Akeha Kuru Nandana. Whatever you want. From this day, I am yours. One term for gopi is kinkari. What you want, kinkari, do. What you want, I will do. So And Lord Chaitanya tells him, well, no, we don't have to strive for these material things unnecessarily. We don't have to over-endeavor for them, because the karma comes on its own accord. The endeavor is only one factor in the action. We don't have to over-endeavor. Tasyeva heto priyateta kovido talabhyate yad brahmatam uparyadav. Tasyeva heto kovido, one who is intelligent. Kovido is intelligent. He aims for that which has purpose. He doesn't wander around the universe senselessly. And as far as material things come, they come by its own accord. Prabhupada says, we don't desire distress, it comes. We're not in control of the distress. At the same thing, happiness comes. So we do our duty and we leave the results for Krishna. Our duty may be to try to get some happiness in a religious way, in a proper way, and we'll do that. But the results are up to Krishna. So he's telling this, it's karma. So then eventually the person, he begs, let's, okay, you guys stay, you guys, you prabhus, you stay and you take meal with us. And of course, they're not going to eat anything cooked by such a person, because the consciousness of the person is in the grains which that person cooks. This is a fact. Therefore, Brahmins in the days of yore, they would either cook for themselves or only eat at the house of a Brahmin, someone who's in the mode of goodness. Otherwise, they would cook for themselves. So Lord Chaitanya, they'll say, we'll just take fruit. We'll just take fruit. And then the Dari Sannyasi says, why don't you have some Anand? And Lord Chaitanya doesn't know, well, what's Anand? Nityananda says, he's drinking wine. He wants us to take wine. And then they say, oh, we have some very important things, so we have to go. And they bathe in the Ganga, and then they proceed to go to see Advaita, who's going to preach again to them. And I just read one verse that I skipped over. Sri Gaurashunda preaching is meant to deliver everyone in the world, but he did not display any compassion for delivering the sinful Mayavadis, because after this, before this, I'm not sure which, he went to Varanasi and he would not associate with the Mayavadis. They weren't materialists. They weren't, they follow the rules and regulations, but Lord Chaitanya would not visit them. And he actually visited the house of this materialist to show how far his compassion extends. And he doesn't go to the houses of the Mayavadi or the ashram of the Mayavadi sannyasi to show that that's the limit, that he won't, that he'll liberate those in lust, but he'll be careful with those who have envy of Krishna and the devotees. And then today's verse, again, reaffirms that the acceptance of sannyas and the study of Vedanta of one who has no attachment for the glorification of Sri Gaurasunda, who is constantly praised by Brahma, Shiva, Ananta, and Kamala, the mother world is useless. So without bhakti, this is Lord Chaitanya's message. Dharmas vinushtita pumsa viviksena katasya no pariyed yati ritim shrama evi kevla. It's useless. If your activities are not on the path of giving you rati, giving you bhava, giving you attachment to the holy name of Krishna, then they have no value. Dharma sunushtita. Sunushtita means even your dharma is done so expertly. They were Brahmins, they were sannyasis, they followed all the rules. But because of some philosophical conception, they would not get bhakti, and therefore it has no value. Okay, now, finally, now Lord Chaitanya is going to arrive. And it says, Vishvambar roared loudly and repeatedly exclaimed, I am he, I am he. So Lord Chaitanya is a devotee, is God in the mood of a devotee. But again, he enjoys the prema, both as the object and subject of the prema. The object of the prema is God, the subject of the prema is devotee. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya gets in this mood of God. So he's exclaiming, I am he, I am he. Nada disturbed my sleep and brought me here. And now he's covering the glories of devotional service by preaching Gyan. So Nada, it's addressing a respectable superior, Nada, he's addressing a respectable superior. And he's stating the fact that it's Advaitacharya that has called him. So he's saying, I am God, and Advaitacharya has called me. And he's called me to spread devotional service. And now he's covering devotional service by Gyan. And this is an important point in bhakti, because pure devotional service, the secondary characteristics, the characteristics that refine it, the primary characteristic of devotional service is you have the intention to please Krishna. You want to serve Krishna. And it's refined, anyabhilashita. It's not covered by any extraneous desires, because there's some desires that don't cover devotional service. If you have to go to the bathroom, it's not against bhakti. If you call and try to save your life, the call for self-preservation, it's not against bhakti. So those desires that are not integral with the self, zero. And anyabhilasha, jnana karma, and it's not covered by karma or jnana. It means that jnana and karma can be there, but not covered by it. For example, we have jnana. Deheno smin yata dehe komaran yovanam jara tata dehantara praptira. That we're not the body, and Prabhupada preach we're not the body. That's Gyan. But it was Gyan in the context of detaching ourselves from the body so that we can understand Krishna. It's one of the fundamental principles of understanding reality. One is our relationship with the body, that we're not the body. Because if we think we're the body, then we'll think we're the enjoyer. We'll think we're the controller, and we're separate from Krishna. So that type of gyan, that we're not the body, but the type of gyan that says we're not the body and we're God, that type of gyan covers bhakti. And karma doesn't have to cover bhakti. And the example is Lord Chaitanya, he went to perform the oblations for his father at Gaya. He did not have to do it. He did not, that's karma. He did not have to do it. He didn't have to go to Gaya and perform those oblations. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavat akinchana savai gunas tatta samasate sura. Devarshi bhutapta ninam patrinam nakinka. You don't have to. But he did it. Why? Because if he didn't do it, being in that type of culture, it would have caused a social disturbance. And that social disturbance would be a hindrance to bhakti. So he performed a ritual, but it did not cover bhakti. But here, Advaita is preaching gyan in a way that it covers bhakti. And the way it covers bhakti is if you make liberation the goal rather than service. Just like Narada Muni. Narada Muni performed some austerities when he was young. He got sakshat darshan. He saw God directly. And then after seeing God directly, God disappeared. He tried the same thing. It didn't work. God didn't appear, and then he was disturbed, and he heard a voice. He said, you cannot see me again because you're covered by a material taint and you're not complete in service. You're not complete in service. And what is the material taint? He was in the Himalayas. It was peaceful. He was peaceful. He was attached to the Himalayas. We can become attached to liberation. Our goal becomes we just want to alleviate suffering rather than service to Krishna. So it can cover it, that desire. I see that myself. Sometimes we just wish for liberation. Our desire just becomes of all the anxieties and all the problems and all these things go away. Well, they can go away if you merge with God. And there's a philosophy that teaches you that. The goal of bhakti is not peace. The goal of bhakti is love. And love may not be peace. It's bliss. So now he's preaching again, basically Mayavadi philosophy. Not just that you're not the body, but all distinctions are illusion, including the conception of God, the personal conception of God. See, now he tells Nityananda, see yourself how I punish him today. Today we'll see how he defends the process of gyan. As Mahaprabhu threatened and roared while floating in the current of the Ganges, Nityananda remained silent and smiled to himself. So he's doing something here for instruction, but also this is Leela. And actually, when they were in Lalitapur, which is halfway, and they met that Dari Sanyan, they jumped in the Ganga, they just started to float down the Ganga to go to Shantipur, because it was going in the direction of Shantipur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now I will destroy this gyan, and he's roaring, and Nityananda is silent, and he's smiling. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur describes this almost in a way of tattva. Lord Chaitanya is so active, and Nityananda is just smiling. The two lords floated in the waves of the Ganges like Mukunda and Ananta in the ocean of milk. So Nityananda, Ananta is an expansion of Nityananda. And in the ocean of milk, Ananta is lying there. And Krishna Mukunda is on him. So Lord Chaitanya is floating in this way. By the influence of his devotional service, Advaita Prabhu is most powerful. He understood that his desire to be punished by the Lord would soon be fulfilled. Wow, what confidence. We have faith that Krishna will fulfill our spiritual desires. Karmic desires are fulfilled by karma. You can endeavor all you want, you may not get something. But spiritual desires will be fulfilled by Krishna if they're pure. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kaman. The one satisfies the many. So basically, we get what we want. So if we want spiritual, sometimes what we want is not good for us and we suffer. But he knew in his heart, his desires would soon be fulfilled. Advaita Prabhu realized that the Lord was coming in an angry mood. And he began to explain Gyan even more enthusiastically. Because why was Lord Chaitanya punishing him? Out of affection. If he didn't love him, he wouldn't care. So that was his affection for him. And what was the affection? Not just to correct him, but to manifest to him, to satisfy his desires. And this is the key fundamental principle of God, that he develops needs according to the desire of the devotee to serve him. I remember reading the Bhakti Sandarbha. It said, if you really have devotion for Krishna, and in the middle of the winter, you forget to heat the water to bathe him, Krishna will be sick. And if you don't feed him, he can starve. He'll feel the pangs of hunger. So God develops these needs and he reciprocates perfectly with his devotees. So he realizes that Advaita has a need for him to take a superior position. So he actually becomes angry. Because you really, in a cultured way, you can only manifest that towards a subordinate. I just recently, someone, their father passed away, and it was an Indian family, and they called me. And it was an Indian family, and there's a lot of attachment, and they would argue like anything. And you know, but then when the father passed away, I've never seen such regret, such that how have I spoken this way to my, and it was, if you understand the circumstances, it was understandable why they sometimes got upset with their father. It was really understandable, but now they were devastated because of that samskara and culture. How did I become angry with my father? How did I? So this etiquette is there. You only become angry with the subordinate. So now Advaita Acharya wanted to be the subordinate. So Lord Chaitanya actually, to satisfy his desire, he developed that anger. As he did with Bhishma Dev on the battlefield, because Bhishma Dev had that desire to reciprocate with Krishna in Veer Yaras, in the mood of chivalry. So Krishna, you know, went to attack Bhishma Dev, who was his grandfather, to satisfy his desire. So, and Advaita was so happy to see that anger, to see Lord Chaitanya, as he previously said, transcend the illusion that I am his superior, that he began to even more enthusiastically. Who can understand the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's devotees? In this way, the two lords floated down the Ganges to Advaita's house. Accompanied by Nityananda, the angry Vishvambar saw Advaita rocking back and forth in the happiness of Gyan. When Haridas and Achyuta, the son of Advaita, saw the Lord, they offered their obeisances. So I gave the philosophical context, and I'll just read about 5 minutes of the story now. The wives of Advaita offered their obeisances to the Lord within their minds. They were filled with anxiety on seeing the Lord's mood. But his mood is his affection. I love you so much that I will not allow you to act in this way. And I love you so much, and I love Krishna so much, that I will not allow you to offend him by this philosophy. So everything is rasa. Vishvambar's bodily effulgence was like that of a million suns. Everyone became frightened on seeing this. In an angry mood, the Lord said, "Oh, Nada," that's Advaita, "Nada, tell me, which is superior, Gyan or Bhakti?" Advaita replied, "Gyan is always superior. What is the use of devotional service for one who does not have Gyan? If you don't have detachment and discrimination, what's the use of devotional service? Devotional service is independent. Gyan is dependent on bhakti. Because to get a gyanic understanding of the world, it's beyond material capabilities. And therefore, to have the level of detachment that's required to be successful in gyan, it's beyond material capabilities. And therefore, without getting the mercy of God, you can't be successful in gyan. But bhakti is completely independent because it has no material qualification. You just have to bow your head, just have to surrender to Krishna. And sometimes when you lack material qualification, you're more inclined to do that. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamanam Madapunam Navahat Yabutaitu Twam Akinshana Gochara. Janmaishvara Shruta Shribir. If you have too much qualification, where's the feeling? You think you're independent. So Gyan is dependent on bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent on Gyan. Advaita replied, it's superior. On hearing Advaita say that Gyan was superior, the son of Sachi lost his external consciousness out of anger. He dragged Advaita from his seat into the courtyard and began beating him with his own hands. Although she knew everything, Advaita's chaste wife and mother of the universe tried to restrain the Lord. "Spare his life. He is an old Brahmin. For whose benefit do you chastise him?" The Brahmin is so old. What more will you do to him? If something happens to him, you will be responsible for the consequences. On hearing these words befitting a chaste wife, Nityananda smiled. Haridas Prabhu remembered Krishna in fear. In his anger, the Lord did not hear those words befitting of a chaste wife. He roared and threatened Advaita with proud words. I was sleeping in an ocean of milk when you woke me to fulfill your mission. You brought me to reveal the science of devotional service, but now you are covering devotional service with your explanations on Gyan. If your intention was to cover devotional service, then why did you have me incarnate? You brought me to reveal the science of devotional service. Okay, I did that. I never frustrate your resolve, but you always deceive me. After releasing Advaita, the Lord sat down in the doorway and began to loudly reveal his own glories. Oh, Nada, it was I who killed Kamsa. You know everything, don't you? Brahma, Shiva, and Lakshmi will engage in my service. The cunning imposter Vasudeva was killed by my chakra. Varanasi was completely burned by my chakra, and the mighty Ravana was killed by my arrow. My chakra cut off the arms of Banasura, and my chakra destroyed Narakasura. It was I who held up Govardhan Hill with my left hand, and it was I who brought the Parijata flower from heaven. Anyway, we'll read more, but what happens, Advaita was filled in ecstasy after receiving his punishment, and he danced, and he floated in an ocean of ecstasy, but I have to keep the timing. When anybody, on Wednesday, and I'll start with this also next Sunday, would anyone like to give a reflection on something in the class that you remembered that struck you?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, His Gloria.
Hare Bo, thank you.
I love this sentence. Karma and Gyan should not cover bhakti.
Yes. Janmad karma yanavritam. Yes. It should. Right. You can have karma and Gyan, but not when it covers bhakti. Yes. Good. Thank you, Gloria. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Bhakti Devi.
Bhakti Devi, okay, yes.
I just loved your explanation of liberation versus service to Krishna.
Right, because in this world, we always want liberation.
Yep, yes.
And Queen Kunti, she said, Vipata Shantu Tash Shashvat Tattva Tatra Trigakru. Let these calamities happen again and again. That's not liberation. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Bhakti Devi. Good. Anybody else like to share a reflection?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Takurani.
Takurani, yes.
I really like when you said what's best for you may not be what you like. So the teacher is always very careful.
Say that again. I didn't hear it.
I like what you said, when what's best for you may not be what you like.
Right. Oh, my God. Isn't it true?
Yeah. So the teacher is very careful, and he gives you what you can handle.
He pushes the limits also. Yeah. He tries to give us. God tries to give us himself. Yeah. Good. Very good. Thank you, Takarani. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa. Yeah.
I liked the goal of bhakti is not peace, it's love.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
When you say that,
Jan, what's up? Somehow. Okay, Jan?
Can you hear me now?
I hear you now, yeah. What's up?
When you say that it's only by the mercy of Krishna that the jnani succeeds,
yeah,
do you mean that the Krishna gives the jnani a sense of bhakti or that some other kind?
No, because the path of jnana has to have some worship. And the reason is like if you study the Yoga Sutras, there's seven stages of samadhi, right? So the first stage is your mind is completely fixed and there's no other distraction for at least an hour and 28 minutes. For 1 minute, we can't just concentrate on something. Can you imagine for an hour and 28 minutes, complete concentration to such a degree that there's no conception of anything outside of what we're meditating on? So now, if you take that, that's the first step. The second step, you have to meditate on the object without any conception of the object. In samadhi, you can have the object in your mind. But the second stage is without any conception. And the rest of the stages, as they're described, practically you have to have the realization to understand what they are. But the last stage, or the next to last stage, is some pragyata samadhi, where the mind is still a basis for meditation, but there's only one other desire in the mind. And the only desire in the mind is to stop other desires. And then the asapragyata samadhi, the final stage, is there's not even any conception outside. It's all internal. So it's impossible for a human being to control himself to that degree without some mercy of God. And therefore in the Yoga Sutras, when it describes the objects of meditation, the thing that's emphasized most is Ishvara Pranidhadva, and you meditate on God. And in the commentaries, all the commentaries discuss because of mercy, because of the fact of mercy. So there's the jnanic path, even Buddhism, they worship, they have statues of Buddha, and there's some humility required, some different things. Yeah.
Thank
what
you.
Do you think? Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Jen. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Tiffany.
Tiffany,
okay. Like Bhakti Devi, I really appreciated what you said about basically being of service is our identity, and it does not end with the body. And I was wondering if you could just say a bit more about how being in service of Krishna is freedom, if you don't mind.
Because what dies is the body and not the soul. So the more you act on the platform of the soul, the more your identity, because you act according to an identity. So the more you act on the platform of the soul, then the more you identify with the soul. And that identity, the person who is serving Krishna, that doesn't get destroyed with the body. But the person in a family identity, an occupational identity, a national identity, and when you act on those things independent of God, that if you want to be a politician, you're not going to be a politician. You know, it'll be gone. If you have a post, it's going to be gone. You have a gender, it's going to be gone. You have that'll all be gone. So those platforms and acting on those platforms cause fear unless they're done within Dharma, which connects them to the spiritual purpose. But when you're just chanting and hearing about Krishna and your identity is I'm a servant of Krishna, then that's not destroyed with the body. And you begin to realize that. And therefore it creates a certain lack of fear. That helpful, Tiffany?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, it's getting late.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Jai Kishori?
Yeah, I was just going to share that one of the things I really appreciated was when you said that our material desires have to be fulfilled in karma, but Krishna will fulfill our pure spiritual desires.
Right. Right. And they may not be fulfilled in karma.
Right.
Very good. Okay, a few people say hello, and then we'll have a few minutes for questions. Okay, anybody else like to say hello today?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Wow, great to hear both of you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a great class.
Henry, I always like that you're always appropriately dressed for class. Thank you.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Sri Rupa, Haribo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Jaini Tai, can you contact me next week?
Sure. Okay. Happy Easter.
Oh, thank you. I forgot it was Easter. Even before I was a devotee, I forgot it was Easter.
Well, happy fourth day of Passover.
Okay, call me. I wanted to speak to you about some things. Send me a message.
Sure.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sorry.
Okay, Haribo, who's that?
Brahmatirtha,
Prabhu, Haribo. That's perfect questions and perfect answers. Thank you, so nice to see you. Thanks for being on. Wow, and you're in Vrindavan on the Jamuna. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, is Lal Govinda.
And Braja Sundari Radha.
Thank you for such a great class.
Okay, Haribo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Jai Balai.
How do you get away with all you're doing? I can't imagine it. Thanks for coming to class.
Rasika's with me right now.
Okay. Anybody else? Say hello.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Kishori Radha.
And Sota Gopinath.
Wow. Great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Wow, okay. Wonderful. Anybody else? I kind of lost myself here. I don't know these technical things. Can you all still see me?
Yes, Maharaj, we can see you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? I kind of lost this screen. Can you? Am I still on?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else say hello so we'll get a sense of our community?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Could you hear me?
Yeah. Who is it?
It's Don Kaley.
Hey, Don Kaley. Haribo.
Haribo. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, good. Gail, you have any questions?
Is there time, Maharaj?
There's time for a question, yeah.
Okay, well, I also, since Brahmatirtha Prabhu is on, I'd like to say Hare Krishna, because it was his book was the first that you recommended to me. So it was really nice to see him on.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but my question is, you know, you were saying that, you know, we should feel, Krishna, I am yours, and, you know, do whatever you have to do with my full seagull to bring him in to my heart. But I don't know if I can handle that. So how to make that prayer actually with feeling?
I don't know how many people can handle it. It's not like something you begin with. It's the perfection of all your processes, you know. You know, it's even hard to pray, let me come to that point.
Yeah.
Well, that's the philosophy. Maybe we can pray. Let me come to that point and enjoy it. That's all I can think of.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Maharaj, thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. I have another class at 11 called The Art of Living and Dying, and I'm pretty excited about it. I went over the class this morning. And thank you all for coming on. Oh, wait. Let me see if I can find. Okay, back on Zoom. Okay. So I guess I can see most of you at 11 if you are. It's really great. We're getting a lot of kata, a lot of in. Okay. Thank you very much. Vanchukopa to Vishaka Visindivi.